My name is Jun Kim. I serve as one of the pastors. If you are new or visiting with us in this season of Advent, we are going through a short portion of chapter 1 of Gospel of John from verses 1 to 18. And today we come to verse 10 to 13. So only four verses today that we are going to be looking at together. John chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. He, that is Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The word of the Lord. So if you don't know, my wife Lynn and I have two children. They will be turning 7 and 3 in a few months, which I can't believe. and you know, as you can imagine, and as many of you do, I can still, you know, even though it was 7 years ago, I can still very vividly remember the day that they were born, the moment that they were born. So with our first one, with Tiger, from the time when we got to the hospital and when he was actually born, it took about 2 hours. It went really quickly, right? So the whole thing happened within 2 hours. And if you think that was quick, with our second one, Taryn, so we rushed into the hospital. I don't remember where I parked my car. I just put it somewhere. We rushed in. I saw Lynn settled in into the bed, quickly came down to park the car, went back up, and I was almost too late. Taryn was born in 12 minutes. If you think about that, I'm scared. So on that day, actually, I dropped off Tiger at the preschool at 8:30, and all that happened, you know, went to the hospital, Taryn was born, all the procedures, and even Lynn was able to have a little bit of a rest, and then I came back to pick him up at the regular time, 12:30. Tiger had no idea what happened. But, here's what I want to say. But, even though it was a really short time, 2 hours, 12 minutes, if I say to Lynn, that must have been not too hard, you know, not too painful, 12 minutes, you know what would happen, right? She would be very mad. I'll be in trouble. Because it was so difficult and so painful, no matter how long it was. I mean, if you had to suffer for a lot longer time, probably more, but it was painful, it was hard, it was difficult. I one time heard someone say, if men were to give birth, every family would have only one child. I don't know if that's true, but it does take a lot of pain, labor, difficulties for a new life to come into existence. Giving birth is always, always costly. It involves pain, like I said, labor and everything. And I'm sure it was more so at the time of Jesus, right? Without the kind of medical assistance or advancement that we have now, it must have been, I guess it must have been more difficult, in ways more painful, and as we know, more dangerous, right? It was a life-risking thing for a mom to give birth, for a woman to give birth. And at such a time, this is what Jesus said in John, later in John. I think I have it here. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of the joy that a child is born into the world. That's what Jesus says. Why is Jesus talking about a woman giving birth? Well, in the Gospel of John, whenever Jesus says a time has come or the hour has come, it refers to the cross that he has to bear, he needs to bear. It refers to the cross that everything is headed towards. A woman is in pain and labor because her time has come. And so Jesus is saying, he is describing the kind of work he is given, the kind of work of salvation, bringing God's redemption on earth as a woman giving birth. That's the reason why Jesus came, to give new life as a woman giving birth. I think many of you will remember this verse in one of the famous Christmas hymns. I think we're going to be singing this later. But this third verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We sing together, born to raise us from the earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So this king was born so that we are born. And the king was born that we get to have the second birth. Of course, another well-known passage about this new life or being born again is also found in the Gospel of John. It is the story of Nicodemus, found in John chapter 3. We don't have time to go over everything, but just quickly, this is the kind of conversation that goes between Nicodemus and Jesus. If you want to follow, it's in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 2, 9. So Jesus replied to Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born that when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, again, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "How can this be?" And then, of course, in verse 16, in the same conversation, Jesus tells him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The second life, the second birth, to be born again. So we too ask with Nicodemus to Jesus, "How can that be? Why do you say we, grown-ups, must be born again?" And to us too, Jesus says, very truly, that is the only way. That is the only way for you to enter the kingdom of God. There's no other remedy. There's no fix of your life. You can't just try to fix your life. You can't just try harder to make it work. You have to be born again. What you need is not a second chance. You are more in trouble than you think. What you need is a completely new life, different life. Oftentimes, so often in our lives, whenever we encounter a hardship, difficulties, troubles, we think only if there was another chance, right? Only if there was another chance. And oftentimes when the situations are difficult and dire, only if I was given another opportunity. Only if I get that new job. Only if I get into that school. Or even maybe if I move to a new place. Maybe if I move to a new country. I think a lot of us are here looking for that second opportunity. Or if I can be with another group of people. If I can be with another partner or friends. But then to us, Jesus says, no, what you need is not a second chance. What you need is not another opportunity. That will not work. What you need is a new life. As if Jesus is saying, I didn't come to make your life better. Jesus is not saying, I came to improve your life. Jesus says, I came to give you a new life. You must be born again. And we will be mistaken if we only think of new life or being born again related with those who are failing, those who are miserable, that those are the people who need new life. No. See, Nicodemus, in the passage that we just read, Nicodemus was a good person. In any moral standard, he was an excellent person. And he was a successful person, right? He was he had a good status in every regard, religiously, socially. But to him, Jesus also says, you must be born again. It doesn't matter how bad you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. You must be born again. Why? Our text in verse 13 gives us why. Verse 13 says, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will or man's will, but born of God. Children born of God. The three things it is not, our text says. Three things it is not. First, not of natural descent. It's not about being born into a particular family. When it says natural descent, it literally means blood, bloodline. It's not about the kind of bloodline that you are born into. It's not even about being born into a particular family or a particular nation or ethnicity. No human blood can produce a child of God. And it's not of the human decision, which can also be translated as not of the decision of the flesh. Again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, what's born of the flesh is flesh at best. The flesh simply cannot produce a child of God, and it is not of a husband's will. Again, it's not human influence. In that time, in that ancient context, this is referring to the fact that no matter how powerful or how prestigious or even how holy the father is, he cannot produce a child of God. The only way to make or produce a child of God is by God. That's what the verse 13 says. Just like human birth is only possible through the pain and suffering and labor of the mother, this new birth, spiritual birth, is only possible through the work of Christ on the cross. That's the only way. This new birth is completely based on God's decision and His action. This new birth is costly, but only to the Father, right? When a baby is born, there was a lot of cost, a lot of work involved in that new birth, but it's all involved with the parents, not with the baby. This new birth, this being born again into the new life, is costly to the father. And there's nothing the child does to win this birth. This child is only born of God. However, in our text today, already this is a remarkably good news that we are born again in God, in His Spirit. But in our text today, there is something more than just being born. In verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." He gave the right to become children of God. Yes, we need to be born. We need to be born again, and we need that life. But think with me. If we are simply born or born again without any kind of change, then we end up with a new beginning of the same problem. Are you with me about that? If we are simply born again, what we have is baby sinner, so to speak. It's the new beginning of the same problem that we cannot solve. Again, in our text today, we read that Jesus was in the world, but we did not recognize Him. Jesus came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. In such a situation, in such a rebellious situation, being born or being born again doesn't promise anything. If you are outside of the family, a new life doesn't promise anything. I hope many of you will remember this slide from last Sunday from Pastor Andrew's sermon. A very helpful distinction between the two lives, the bios life and the zoe life. So when God gives us life, when He causes us to be born again, He's not only giving us new bios life, but He must also give us the God quality life. He must also give us the right to be His children. We need His adoption. Because we were not part of His family. We were outside of His family. We were outside of the promise. We did not recognize Him and we did not receive Him. In fact, the Bible says we were His enemies. Yet, to all who received Jesus and believed in His name, God gave us the right to become His children. He adopted us as His children. We not only need to be born again, but we need to be adopted as God's children. And praise to our Father. At the moment when we were born again in Christ, we are also given this wonderful privilege and the right to be His children. When we say this word right, our right to be His children, it's a legal language. It's a legal expression. When He says, "I gave you the right to become My children," it's something that we'd not have before, but now we do. It's a new status. Maybe before you did not have the permanent residency of Canada, but now you do. Maybe before you were a citizen of another country, but now you are a citizen of Canada. You were not part of the family, but now you are brought into God's family. It's a new status. You have a new family name. You have a new home. You have new parents. And most importantly, you are now entitled to the Father's inheritance. That's amazing. You are now entitled to the Father's inheritance. You became an heir of God and all that He is and all that He has. We have status. We have become somebody. And you know, we use that expression so often now in our culture, that I am somebody, I have status. But I don't mean that in any other earthly way, but in the sense of the gospel, in the sense of the good news. Maybe the world says you need to have status. Maybe the world says you need to be significant in some way. You need to be different. You need to be somebody. But we already are in Christ. We have a very special status. We have status. We are significant as sons and daughters of God. And we are somebody. We have been born with the work of the cross by our big brother Jesus, and we have been invited and adopted into the family of God by the Father. And we have become the heirs of Father's inheritance. And John again writes about this in his first letter. In 1 John chapter 3, this is what he writes. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And then, of course, the Bible is full of this. But especially, Paul loves to talk about adoption. In Galatians chapter 4, this is what Paul says. When the fullness of time had come, again echoing what John said about the time coming, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, to redeem, meaning to pay the cost, to save, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And he continues, because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir of his inheritance. Brothers and sisters, we are not just born, we are children of God. We are not just forgiven, though that's already great. We have been invited into an intimate relationship with the Father. When you think about forgiveness, when someone forgives you, you are not guilty anymore, right? But it's another thing to be invited into the family, into the close and intimate relationship with that person, with that family. I mean, if you forgive someone, it's oftentimes you forgive someone, but not necessarily you want to see that person anymore. Does that make sense? You could forgive someone, but wish not to engage with that person anymore. But God is different. When he forgave us, he didn't only make us not guilty, he only made us his children with the full privilege and the power and the provision and the protection that he provides. So if someone asks a question, what is a Christian? I think one of the best answers I know is in this book called Knowing God, written by J.I. Packer. He says, you sum up the whole of New Testament, and Old Testament too, I think. You sum up the whole Bible if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's Holy Father. If you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his Father. Father is the Christian name of God. Our understanding of Christianity cannot be better than our grasp of adoption. by our Heavenly Father. I know that some of you or some of us here might not have the best relationship with our earthly father. Maybe some of you never had that opportunity to have any relationship with your father. But imagine the perfect father with all the wisdom, all the love, and all the power. The perfect father. Unlike our earthly fathers, and definitely unlike me as a father, this father is always right. This father is always wise. This father is always loving. This father is always providing. He never lets you down. And he is our father. He gave us the right to become his children. This is glorious reality that we all have, know, believe, receive, and enjoy. I want to finish by telling you a story, which I think I have shared with you before, I think about maybe 2 years ago. It's a story well-known, to Koreans at least, it's a well-known story about a pastor named Yang Won, Son Yang Won. And a lot of Koreans know of him from a book called Nuclear Bomb of Love. That's the title of the book. It's not the most trendy title, but that's kind of his nickname. That's how people described the kind of love and forgiveness he has exemplified. Any of my Korean friends, how many of you know of the pastor? Yeah. So, Pastor Son, especially during the time of Japanese occupation of Korea, he was known as someone who stood against the command to bow down or to pay homage to the shrine of Japanese emperor. So he was persecuted with that, and he almost risked his life by going against that. And when Japan surrendered and Korea was liberated, things looked a little better. People were hoping that things will get better soon. But at this time, other things started to happen, and especially with the Soviet influence, a lot of communist uprisings started to happen in Korea. And especially in the south, where it was at the time governed by the American government, a lot of these rebels or communist uprisings, they targeted Christians and Christian leaders at the charge of allying with America. So two of his sons, Pastor Son's sons, these two young boys, at their school, they were targeted, they were dragged out, they were beaten, and still as they refused to renounce their faith, they were shot and killed. And as you know, the South Korea soon became free of all this, and all these communist rebels were caught and they were arrested. And when the new government formed, they were caught. And this person who killed those two boys, he was arrested too. His name was Jae Sun, and he was actually a friend of these two boys at the same school, a young man, and he was sentenced to death. He was given the death penalty. But then something very unexpected happened. Pastor Son started to try to save this killer's life that killed his two sons. And we have the record of him being at the court trial, giving his talk. And he basically gave a full sermon on forgiveness. And he requested to the jury or to the judge that this man, this killer that killed two of his sons, be saved and released. He said, if he dies, then my two sons died in vain. Please save him. Please let him live. But of course, if you know anything about the law, you can't just do that, right? So according to the law, there was no way that such forgiveness could be made. It was as if he was told, your forgiveness is not enough to save him. But then he said, I will adopt him as my son. And are you going to have my son killed again? That's what he said. And indeed, this guy, Jaesan, was adopted as the pastor's son. And he was forgiven. He was released. He was given a new life. And more than that, he was embraced into a new family, a family of God, in all God's grace and mercy. There's a photo of Pastor Son and his adopted son, Jaesan. Brothers and sisters, this is the reality that we all have. This is the identity that we all have. That we, who once was not, is now children of God. Born again and adopted. Forgiven and accepted. When any of your other identities are failing, and it will fail, be it your status, be it money, be it health, whatever identity that you have, when they are failing, and it will fail, let this glorious reality that you are a child of God be your identity. As Pastor Andrew said last week, let this reality, let this light be the light by which you see everything else. Let this reality be the light by which you see your failures. Let this reality be the light by which you see your success. In any and every situation when you feel like you've failed, in any and every situation when you feel like you've succeeded, remember this reality, that in the first place, it is not of human descent, nor of human decision, nor of human will, but solely by the grace of God and the work of Christ. And to all who received him, to all who believed in the name of Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. And all God's children said, Amen.